Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 1. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. We have a lot of scriptures to read. Just follow the teachings. I want you to listen attentively. It's very important that you listen. Very important that you listen, because there's so much to glean from this teaching. And I hope that we'll be able to answer one or two questions at the end of the day, so that we can have good understanding. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. Let's read it together in concert. Everybody want to go? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must surely take place. And he sent and signified it by his to his John. Okay, so he's supposed to show it to his servants. Are we here together? But he had to give it to his servant John to hand it over to the church, who bore witness to the word. Everybody, let's go on to go now. Who bore blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Yep. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Now hold on. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and is to come. The dimensions of the past, the present, and the future is covered by God. In other words, he is neither in the past, nor in the present, or in the future. He lives in timeless eternity. Are we here together now? Yes. So the Bible is saying here that grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from, can you see now two different beings here now? Grace to him, yes. And from, that is grace to you and peace from God. Please go back. That's from God. That's the Father. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, so I will be distinguishing every time, so that you can see the Trinity. So grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come. That's the Ancient of Days himself. Are we here now? Then the next one, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. So you understand now, this is the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits who are before his throne. I will explain what it means by the seven spirits. Then you now see Jesus manifest in the next verse, verse 5. You now say, the next verse please. And from Jesus Christ. So we see the Trinity here again, is that not? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now go back to verse 4. There are many things to see in verse 4, but for time's sake, we might not be able to. I think the person there, you are rushing. Just follow me. So John is writing to the seven churches which are in Asia, and is expressing grace to them and peace from God Almighty and from the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Can we see that now? Is that very clear? Do you understand that? Yes. Why I'm doing all this is so that at any point in time anybody brings up an argument about the Trinity of the Godhead, you can practically explain it.
without saying, oh, I'm not very sure, I don't know if the Holy Spirit is this or the Holy Spirit is that. No, you have to understand it. That's why you are a Christian. The Bible says whoever asks you a question as relating to your faith, you must be able to give what? An answer. Are we here together? Yes. So we're talking about the seven spirits. I know you're used to Holy Spirit, but now we're seeing seven spirits. How come he's talking about seven spirits? And it says that the seven spirits here, the seven spirits who are before whose throne? God's throne. Is that not? So he's saying that there are seven spirits before the throne of God. Revelation chapter 3 verse 1. Let's look again. Let's look at it and see. Revelation 3 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Again, we see seven spirits. And it says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Now, my focus again is that it's bringing us to the seven spirits. So we need to get that. This thing says he who has the seven spirits of God. The second time we're mentioning seven spirits. Revelation chapter 4. Let's go to verse 5. I want to exhaust as many of the spirits, seven spirits I can see here in scripture. And from the throne proceeds lightnings, thunderings, voices. From the throne of God now proceed lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven lamps of fire. Please get back. You know why I'm laughing. Whoever is on this stuff, just follow. Don't be in a hurry. If I have not said move, don't move. Except we are reading as a flow. And from the throne proceeds lightnings and thunders and the seven lamps of fire which burn before the throne. Now, how many of us remember when we read Zechariah, we started this year by talking about not by power, not by might, Zechariah. And we'll talk about that seven lamp also. Is that not? Can you remember? So it's pictured that it's called the menorah, the light. That lampstand. So he's talking about the lampstand. The seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne. And he said the seven lamps of fire that you see burning before the throne, they are the seven spirits of God. Do you understand that now? Is it clear? Yes. We're not done. I will explain. Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. I want to show you all. And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the throne of God, you know, there's a lot about the throne of God. If you read about in the book of Revelation, you see so many things around the throne of God. You have the beast that has eyes all around. You have the beast that has, you know, the four face of an eagle, human, ox, and all that. There's so many things around the throne of God, 24 elders and all that. But we're not doing dissecting anything around the throne. We just want to take seven spirits of God. Are we here together? So I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, in the midst, look at now, the midst of the throne. Now you need to picture it. In the midst of the throne and in the midst of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Now this lamb is standing there. It's standing. It's not dead. It's not lying. Stood a lamb as though it had been slain. In other words, the mark of the slaughter is on the lamb, but it is alive. I am he who was and is. Is that not? So this lamb also is a lamb that had been from the foundation of the world. At a particular time, it was killed and it was raised back to life. Are we here together now? Now the lamb here we know is Jesus. Are we here together now? Stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Now the lamb having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now here we are seeing that the lamb has seven horns. Is that not? Seven horns. And horn represents what? 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 Dominion, correct. Horn represents dominion, authority. Dominion, authority. So the lamb has seven horns. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So the lamb has seven. And in picturing it, some people will say that it represents the dominion and authority over the seven mountains of influence, as it were. And I think it can also be more than that. But to say that we have seven spheres of influence is also correct to a large extent, biblically speaking, even though it's open to debate. But it says the lamb, as though it had been slain, it has seven horns and seven eyes. I don't know where the eye will be staying, but seven eyes. Just imagine a lamb having seven eyes. Just, I don't know what you are picturing in your mind, but can you picture something? Now, it's possible, if you are very fast up, you can get something online and just let's be able to see. Don't be distracted now. It's not the time to get distracted. Just focus so that you can get the things that I want to share with us in this teaching. So the focus here is that this seven horns, it has seven eyes. It now says the seven eyes, they are the seven spirits of God. Remember, the eyes represents a lampstand. In another place, it says that the eyes represents the seven spirits of God, like a lampstand. And in this place now, it is saying that it is the eyes of God that goes through and through the earth. Is that not? Yes, which are the seven spirits of God going all through the earth. And it says it has seven eyes. Now, the lampstand is now seen as eyes. So let's get it like this. It is the seven spirits of God. This seven spirit of God is the lampstand. Seven lampstand, is that not? This same seven spirit of God now is what that lamp has on its head. And on the head of the lamp, it is seen as what? Eyes. Seven. Look at it now, very clear. Having seven horns and seven eyes. And I'll say that seven eyes you are seeing on top of the lamb, it is also the seven spirits of God. In other words, that same eyes that you are seeing upon the lamb of God is the lampstand. Remember, on the lamp you have light with which you see, eyes with which you see. Does anybody get what I'm saying? Are you sure you're getting what I'm saying? Please make sure you get it. I will try as much as possible to break it so that every single person will be able to get it. Now let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4 from verse 1 to 4. Let's see what Zechariah is saying, because this is our key scripture for 2025 here in church. And I looked and behold, in the midst of the... Zechariah, please. Zechariah, thank you. Now the angel who talked with me came back and woken me as a man who is waking out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? And I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold. Now, gold is the color that you will see most of the times in scripture. Gold, 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 gold. And what do you think gold represents whenever I see gold? What? What? Wealth. Royalty. Well, you might not be wrong with the things that you are saying. You know, gold represents splendor, glory. Do you understand? Anytime you are talking about the extent and the weight of glory that can be ascribed only to God, they talk about many other stones, but you just see gold, that the whole place is overlaid with gold. You understand? Of all the precious metals and everything, they will talk about gold. It talks about the glory of the king. Golden crown. Do you understand? And a crown on your head, gold, it represents the glory of the king. Do we get what I'm saying here? So he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking at the lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the seven lampstands, and on the seven lampstands with seven pipes to the seven lampstands. Each of the lampstand has a pipe attached to it flowing from the bowl. Can you see the bowl there? And he said to me, what do you see? Look at it. I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top. So the bowl is like the tank. Then the tank, of course, naturally it will have oil inside, is that not, to supply the lamp. It now says seven pipes, one by one is connected, one by one. Each of the lamp has a pipe attached to it coming from the bowl. Verse 2. It now says, two olive trees are by it, one at the right side of the bowl and the other at the left side. So this one and this one are supplying the bowl, and the bowl is supplying the pipes. And that pipes, this lampstands, they are seen and represented at the seven spirits of God. Are we here together? Yes. So two olive trees are supplying that lampstand. Now go to verse 4. Then we'll hit verse 10. And I'll come back again. I just want to show you a few things. So I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked with me. And he's saying, what are these, my Lord? Now questions he began to ask. And the angel began to give him answer. Let's move to verse 10. Verse 10 of this. Please just follow. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now I've come back to the eyes of the Lord again, scanning to and fro throughout the whole earth. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Does it make any sense here? You need to understand the seven spirits of God, because if you don't understand the seven spirits of God, you as a believer may not be able to operate. You can operate one dimension all your life and die. And that's why the level of your revelation and understanding of God determines how you operate. It is by knowledge we prevail. It's by knowledge we can do things. It's by knowledge we wage war. So in this kingdom, when you don't know certain things, you can't operate in them. Are we here together now? Yes. And that's why it's essential that you get to know some of the things that we're sharing. Now, the same Zechariah chapter 3 verse 9. I'm showing you all the lampstands I can lay hold of. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 9. 3:9. For behold, the stone that I have laid upon Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in a day. Upon the stone are seven eyes. You have the picture of the stone. Just imagine a stone with seven eyes. Like the one on the screen. Is it going to show on the screen? Do you have it? Did you send it? So, now, this one stone, seven eyes, that means it is not seven stones with one eyes. So we don't have seven holy spirits. Let's establish that first. We don't have seven holy spirits. We have one, and this particular holy spirit has seven manifestations. When you say the seven spirits of God, it is one holy spirit, seven manifestations. It is one lampstand, seven candles on it. Can you see it now? One lampstand is one major lampstand, but you can see the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, like that, lined up. I also have the lampstand, but I don't know if they can show it or not. Okay, you show the second one. Let me see the second one. Okay, one stone, seven eyes. It's even confusing to look at it. No wonder each time the angels look today, they'll just turn back and say, what is this? So this is one stone. So it's not seven. It's the same stone. The same stone. Are we here together now? But it has seven. This eyes has something that it sees. This eye has another thing that it sees. This one sees another thing. This one sees another thing. This one sees another thing. This one. They all see. And all of them seeing together, seven being the number of perfection, gives the perfect sight of the fullness of God. And the manifestation of the Spirit here, this is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Somebody can be walking with one sight as a believer all your life until you die. You can live and function at one level all your life until you die. But this Holy Spirit that lives inside of us has seven manifestations. And it is possible today as a believer to grow to the point where you begin to move from level 1 to level 2 to level 3 to level 4 to level 5. If it is not possible, I'll show you why I say it is possible. Because if it is not possible, then I wonder why Paul will be speaking about us coming to the fullness. Are we here together? Yes. And I'll show you the man who exemplified this fullness and why it is possible for us to also manifest the fullness. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Now listen. So the first person we see in scriptures that manifests this fullness, so we have settled the fact that it's one Holy Spirit, is that not? We have settled the fact that the lampstand that we are seeing there, that lampstand also is the seventh spirit of God. Seventh spirit of God represents lampstand, also represents the eyes, is that not? And the eyes goes to and fro seeing everything, is that not? Do we understand what I'm saying here now? Yes. And in that light, we are also explaining again that this Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are dealing with Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit, in his fullness and his dimension, is the Spirit that resides inside the believer. But before we talk about the believer, let's talk about Jesus Christ. So John chapter 3 verse 34. Let's see now. John chapter 3 verse 34 about Jesus. John chapter 3 verse 34. It says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure." God did not give the Spirit to Jesus by what? Measure. In other words, Jesus Christ has what? The fullness. The fullness of the Spirit. There is something called the fullness of the Spirit. Many people, you know, there are times where the apostles are doing something, and the Bible says, and the apostle being filled with the Holy Spirit, is a point in time where he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he would do something very powerful, and again it comes down. Are we here together now? I'll show you examples in the scripture. Jesus Christ is that person that had this one, and it was not going to happen to him that it will happen then he will move. No, it stayed. He stayed there. The fullness of God is in him, complete, always. Jesus is that man that is always full, permanently filled with the Spirit like that. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, we also see it. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. Can you help us on screen? Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So all the fullness dwells in who? Jesus. But the Bible didn't stop there. It said that we are complete in him. Are we here together now? Verse 10. It says again, "Now for him dwelleth of Godhead bodily. For in him," and you are what? "Complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and what? Power." The believer can carry this fullness because God broke the restriction by allowing Jesus to dwell in us. If Jesus has in him the fullness of the Godhead, and he now lives inside the believer, even if you are not manifesting the fullness per time, as in you're not manifesting, but the possibility of manifesting the fullness is a reality and can be a reality in the life of the believer, because the believer already has what it takes. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Are we here together now? So Christ living inside of you. Now, with everything I am saying, even if you don't know anything about the Bible and it's your first time, you just got born again, just start understanding the fullness that a believer can carry. The second pipe is supplying your prayer too. If the whole pipe supply your prayer, the fullness. And times when we get born again, many people settle at the level of knowledge that they have, and they don't even operate. Maybe just they just operate one, and some people don't operate any at all. You know why I say they don't operate any? Because this lamp, the Spirit of God we're talking about, is different, as it were, from the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because the indwelling Holy Spirit is inside of you. I told you it shapes your character. Then the uponness of the Spirit is different. This uponness of the Spirit is an anointing that comes upon you. It can connect with the depth that is inside of you also to help yield results in God. And that's why Jesus Christ told his disciples, he breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And yet he told them, "Go and tarry in the upper room until you are endued with power from on high." In other words, something else will come. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered together. What happened to them? The Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon them like a rushing mighty wind. Are we here together? And they began to speak. So what they had inside started manifesting because something came upon them. Something came upon and activated something within. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? When you operate the seven, you are carrying the fullness of God, as seen in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. Just take note of the scriptures and just a step after the other, we're going to move. He said, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Go ahead. We're going down to the verse I mentioned, 21. "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." "That he would grant you according to the riches of his word, glory, to be strengthened with might through his in the inner man. Follow it now. Follow. Go ahead. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes what knowledge, that you may be with awe. If it is not possible, there's no way you'll be praying for something that is impossible. I've told you over and again in this church that something is not your reality does not mean it's not a reality. You must press for it. And that's why we keep pressing, because we cannot know God in the whole of what he is in our lifetime. 1,000 lifetimes, if you are given, you can't know all. But there's a dimension of God you will know. You'll be a sign and a wonder to your world. Are we here together? Am I communicating? And that's why you're not going to relax. They say, since I cannot know God, let me just stay there. No. The dimensions that people know is what will distinguish them on the face of the planet Earth. If you know little, little will be said concerning you. If you know so much, people will look at you and say, what a great man. What an impact this person is making. The Bible said concerning Jesus, all men seek thee. All men. Why were all of them looking for him? He carried something that every single person, children, suckling, parents, grandparents, whoever would need. The fullness of God manifested. So if Paul began to pray for them, and he said that to know the love of God, that you may be filled with all the fullness of who? God. Go ahead, let me read to verse 21 and just wrap it up there. Go ahead now. To him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. To him be glory in Christ, in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generation forever and ever. Amen. So every believer can go to operate the fullness. The works that I do, Jesus Christ said, you will do also. And greater works than these shall you do. He said, because I am going to my Father. How will Jesus expect us to do greater works if he operated the fullness of the Spirit and we cannot operate the fullness of the Spirit? Because that will be an automatic limitation, true or false. If it is not possible for us to operate the fullness of the Spirit, he cannot say we're going to do greater works. Because if you say we're going to do greater works and you have restricted the flow of the Spirit so that there is limits to what we can express, then it's practically impossible for us to do greater works than what you have done. So for him to say you can do greater works, it means he's saying everything that I am, that I ever had, that I was, I have released to you. If you can tap into it, greater works than this shall you do. Because I am limited by time. I have 3.5 years to function here. You will have longer time to function, and you'll be able to do more exploits and be able to do wonderful things. Because I go to my Father. Now, just understanding that should help you see that at least stop looking at it in the light of the body of Christ, one man of God somewhere. Just consider yourself, where you are, and just tell yourself, there is more to what I can become in God. Forget whoever. Forget anybody. Don't start saying, where I am like this. So man of God, have they reached there? Before I get there, see, God doesn't even work like that. God doesn't work like that. Because sometimes in this kingdom, you might put attention on somebody exalted in a particular position and not knowing that your assignment is to take the baton and start from where the person stopped. If the person's greatness becomes your limitation, you fail for life. His highest point should be the beginning for us. That's why the glory of the latter will be greater than the former. So that there is nothing that is seen on the face of planet Earth today that should intimidate us. We can be amazed, we can be wild, but we can say, God, you can still do more than this. There is still more. And the possibility of doing more is because we are here and we are still around. Those ones cannot experience more. The dead in the grave can, no matter how much anybody who has died, the man of God, the prophet has seen. This generation and the generations come have potentials to see more. And don't picture any man of God, picture yourself. That's how it starts. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look just like you. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look just like you.
Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look just like you. Rapatene mene kapayan de levarusko. Razizo vre de la bosko paravadash. Rakisi nigidi di bushana gabababababababash. Ratene keseke de bashaya. He said, God is able to do. 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 Child of God, there is an able God that can do something. And it doesn't matter where you are. Somebody can be seated somewhere today and you woke, you slept just as an ordinary person. But the next morning, God has ordained a measure to come upon your life that by that measure should become an extraordinary voice. I came to announce to somebody under the sound of my voice, you will not settle for less. You will not settle for less. What we have seen so far by our fathers and the patriarchs, may it not be our limitation to rising. May it not be our limitation to rising. In the name of Jesus. Somebody says, this is what we have seen. Who can ever do this that social person has done? And God is saying, my desire is that there will be more. For in this season, I will give you the latter and the former rain in one season. And imagine what the latter and the former rain will be. If the former rain is this beautiful, if the latter, the former rain is this beautiful, what would the latter rain look like? Then what would the combination of the latter and the former look like? And I sense that this is a dispensation of the latter and the former rain. If only our hearts can be open. Because one of the biggest challenges we can have is to allow the glory of the fathers to place a veil on us. So that we cannot see that there is more that God can do with us. We know the labor, we know the sacrifice, we know the everything. But the question is, we pay attention to details and we're willing to go that mile and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in this dispensation. I guarantee that there is so much God wants to do. Why? In the last days like this, evil will continue to increase. But God is not limited, because as evil continues to persist and darkness increases, there will be greater light, there will be greater manifestation, and there will be greater glory. Somebody under the sound of my voice, I believe that as your yearning, your hunger, your desire begins to skyrocket, God is bringing you into realms that you have never seen. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the heart of men what God has prepared. He said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask. In other words, what he's saying, you have not asked for the dimension, but God can do it. You have not asked for that level, but God can do it. You have not asked for it. It has not even entered your heart. He said, but God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask, imagine or think, according to the power that is at work in you. There is the power of the Holy Ghost that can bring forth a fresh dimension. There's the power of the Holy Ghost that can spark up a fresh fire. There's the power of the Holy Ghost that can burn like an inferno. I came to announce to somebody, as you yield, as you open up, as you say, Lord, I am willing, there will be a dimension that will break forth in you in the name of Jesus. Nasty panted for the water, so my soul longing after. Generation, because because we think that God has done all he can do. There is so much. You alone. God that no generation has seen. There are dimensions in God that are called in later. The glory of the latter will be greater. The glory of the latter will be greater. Our hunger must skyrocket. We must rise above. We must rise and say, God, there is more. There's so much that you can do. There's so much that you can do. There's so much that you can do. Tired of pressing Jesus. May I not get tired of pressing Jesus. Desire and alone to worship you. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul.
Satisfy my soul.
Only you can satisfy me. I know you is the more I want to know you, Jesus.
More of you.
So sometimes you get to the point where you begin to feel like I'm tired, and God is saying, why? 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 There's so much to do. There's so much that he wants to do with our lives. We cannot relax. We can't, not at this time where God is expecting an army to rise, where the kingdom of darkness, as I speak right now, are doing everything that they can to ensure that darkness will invade the earth. The Bible says it shall come to pass, darkness in the last days, darkness will invade the face of the earth, and gross sky, child of God, that's what we call gross darkness. Darkness that is so thick that you feel like you can cut through it. Darkness as thick as cloud is what is coming. You can't enter that kind of darkness with this your little light. You can't enter that kind of darkness with this small light. It's too bleak. That's why I said, let your light so shine. The dimension that God will operate with in this dispensation is a so shining light. It's a so shining light. It's a so shining light. Not the small light. Not the weak light. Not the light that is just so small that even your neighbors cannot feel what is happening. Not the light that your family members cannot even see. The disciples of Jesus Christ, they told him, his brothers, they said, we have seen this thing, but if you know that you are who you say you are, go and show it to the world. And the Bible says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness, and Jesus came back in the power of the Spirit, and the fame of Jesus went abroad. Every one of us have to desire and say, God, there is more you can do with my life. There is more you can do with my life. I am not here to merely exist. I am not here just to live. If you add 40 years to your life now, look at what you will look like. 40 years is 4 days. Less than 4 days. 40 years does not look like anything in the sight of God. Time rolls. What are you doing now? What will you do now? There is so much of the fullness of God that he wants us to carry. That we will not settle, that we will not settle, that we will not settle. Our longing, our desire, our hunger.
Earnestly I seek you. My soul is longing for you. Your love is better than life. am longing for you. And oh Lord, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I'm longing for your love. Is better than love. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I can imagine how the saints and the cloud of witnesses are looking at our generation and say, what is this? It doesn't look like Christianity. This doesn't look like Christianity. It doesn't look anything close to what we were doing. I can imagine how they will be wondering and saying that hell has increased its sophistication, but the sons of light are reducing their tenacity and pressure. I can imagine how they are looking and they're saying, what exactly is happening? Where are the people that will rise and counter this level of satanic darkness? It is by the seven spirit of God. God began to impress in my heart to start teaching some of the things I need to teach early enough. And that's why I had to move from giving all the time to Sundays to bringing it down so that we can get it. And the earlier we get it, the greater manifestation we'll start seeing in our lives. The seven spirits of God. Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1. Isaiah 11 from verse 1. Please help me with it. And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Can you see that? And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and mind, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. In this Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, the seven spirits revealed. The first one is the spirit of the Lord that shall rest upon him. The spirit of the Lord that shall rest upon him. One time God told Moses, he said, it is Joshua that you will anoint. Why? He said, the spirit of wisdom is upon him already. But put your hand upon him. At that point, Joshua needed the spirit of the Lord. He had the spirit of wisdom, but he didn't have the spirit of the Lord. So he said, no, you will lay hands. You will still have to lay hands upon him. If you can get that, you will still have to lay hands upon him. Because the laying of your hand upon him will bring another dimension. There is a spirit already inside of him. But Moses lay hands upon him because something else is supposed to come upon him. And when the hand will be laid upon Joshua, everything about Joshua will change. To show these signs in scripture, the Bible says that concerning the 70 elders, Moses had the spirit of God upon his life. And he said, get 70 guys. I will pour upon them the spirit that is upon you. You will not diminish, but they will increase. It shows that the supply, it can give as many as are willing. Yet from the source, there is no diminishing. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? A shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. This night, I'll just do the spirit of the Lord. Next week, I'll go ahead. I'll show you the dimension of operations that we can use to counter the all manner of satanic noise everywhere on social media. And those of us that God will be raising, you will be shocked if you refuse to. You remember what Mordecai said to Esther? He said, if you fail to rise, salvation will rise for Israel. He said, but you and your father's house will finish. There are some of us that God is giving unusual wisdom to manifest, unusual grace that he wants to put upon you to manifest the spirit of God, the one that is called the spirit of wisdom. It's one stone, seven eyes. One stone, seven eyes. One lampstand, seven candles littered on it. and different dimensions of oppression to penetrate different mountains of influence. And you and I know that as darkness begins to increase and we begin to climax the end of age, God also will be increasing in knowledge. Part of the things he said is that in the last days, knowledge, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of our times. So there are certain people that God will give the spirit of wisdom, especially to counter satanic, all manner of satanic shenanigans and gerrymanderings and all the wiles and the stratagems of the devil, so that he will put the devil to one place where he belongs and light will begin to shine. They will begin to ask, what manner of wisdom is this? It's not a wisdom you will copy from somebody online. It's a wisdom you will get in the secret place. It's an anointing that will come upon you, but your hunger and your desire will determine if you will get it. Don't worry, when we get to the spirit of wisdom, I trust that God will help us understanding, counsel, strength, the rest of them. But let's talk about the spirit of the Lord a little bit. The spirit of the Lord is, you know, that manifestation of God that is the spirit of leadership. The spirit of leadership and authority. The spirit empowers the believer to take authority. And that's why when you get born again, the first thing that God says will happen to you, he said, in my name you will cast out devils. An unusual boldness. Every time somebody is genuinely born again and the Holy Ghost comes upon them, the first thing you see in their life is the spirit of boldness. That's the first time. You just realize that, why is this boldness? On the day of Pentecost, when they were gathered together in one accord, after they prayed, the Holy Ghost came. The Bible says that boldness came upon Peter. The first thing that Peter encountered was the Spirit of the Lord. Amongst all of them, he stood up. Any man operating with the Spirit of the Lord is operating the Lordship of Jesus, the Lordship of God, so massive that you cannot sit down. No, the Spirit has a way of moving you by himself. It will not be by power, it will not be by might. He will take you by the hand and drag you. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus and drove him into the wilderness. It's the Spirit that propels you to fulfill your destiny. When your Kairos moment comes and you are sleeping, the Spirit that begins to awaken you. Ezekiel said, and the Spirit entered into me and said, it. He was becoming lazy, relaxed, not pushing. And he said, no, you cannot. Destinies are waiting for you. Young man, rise up. And while he's still sitting there, the Spirit of the Lord enters into him and say, move now. He will be moving and not knowing where he's going to. But because destiny is calling, prophecy is over his life, and he must fulfill it. Then the Spirit of God begins to steer your heart and begins to move you. The Bible says the Spirit of God, when he came upon Saul, all of a sudden Saul became another man. He said, when you leave me now, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. When you leave me now, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. It's the Spirit that comes upon. It was the Spirit and the day in Genesis chapter 1 that was brooding over the face of the deep, waiting for instruction. That Spirit is not a lazy spirit. It's an active, demonstrating spirit. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you have been relaxed. You have been waiting. You have been dormant. The Spirit of God is going to come upon you and steer your heart. And great things will happen in 2025. Unusual things will happen in 2025. I claim again in the name of Jesus, and I declare today, let the Spirit of the Lord rest upon you, rest upon you, rest upon you, rest upon you, in the name of Jesus. It's usually the first spirit, dimension of the spirit that the believer comes in contact with, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, he came upon Peter and he started confronting the people he was running away from. He said, you men of Galilee, wait, what's wrong with you guys? How come we were just watching? What happened? It was like a madman. And they were wondering, is it not the same Peter that is coming out with this kind of boldness? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Paul. And Paul said, leave it. I will testify before Caesar. Who is Caesar? It's the Spirit that makes you dare. Dare to do great things by God. You can't do it by power. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, things you could not do before, you start doing. In the Old Testament, it was so much, so rampant. In fact, it was a major operation of God in the Old Testament. That spirit of wisdom was what they gave to Bezalel. Bezalel, I will explain those things. But you see, Samson was operating the Spirit of the Lord. Samson will sit like this. And as soon as he's sitting down, all of a sudden, something will just show up. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And what he will not be able to do in his natural strength, all of a sudden, Samson will rise. If he sees a lion, he will put the lion down. Anything he sees at that time, he will drag it down. That's the spirit that comes upon David most of the times to do extra. That's why the boldness, apart from the skill, men can have the skill and not act. But David had the skill, then the boldness will come upon him. And he said, who art thou, uncircumcised Philistine, that defile the armies of the living God? Today I will give your flesh to the birds of the air. Your carcass they will feast on. And Goliath said, what? And he said, who are you?
Something. You would not talk like that with your ordinary eyes. Not when you are age 18. You dare not. But when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, everything changes. He told Jeremiah, when Jeremiah said, I cannot do this thing, I don't have strength, he said, don't look at their faces. When I put my word in your mouth, I will steer your heart to move it. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? You must prepare your heart for the manifestations of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Most of the judges in the Old Testament, Samson, in Judges chapter 13 verse 25, put it on the screen. Put it on the screen, Judges chapter 13 verse 25. Then I'll show you Jephthah also. Then we'll try to start wrapping up. Please help me. Judges chapter 13 verse 25. Judges 13, 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Can you see now? So it began to move him. You get what I'm saying now? The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. So the boy had been growing up. The kairos for his manifestation had not yet started. So his hair was just growing. So he had the hair, but there was nothing working there. But one day, when the time for his manifestation started coming, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord began. The Spirit of the Lord began. There is a starting point of that Spirit coming upon somebody at the kairos moment, at the defining season of your life. Even if you are slack and relaxed and lazing around, I came to announce to somebody by the Spirit of God, He will begin to move your heart, begin to steer your heart, begin to push you to action, begin to push you to take mountains, begin to push you to take territories in the name of Jesus. That was the Spirit that came upon Caleb. He went to meet Joshua. He said, give me this mountain. At what age? He said, give me the mountain. We were here together when they sent us to spy the land. Our result was the same. Other people failed. He said, now I'm looking at, don't look at me. Don't look at my age. Look at what's upon my head. And he said, Moses, give me, Joshua, give me this mountain. At about 86, he wanted a mountain. And somebody's 26 is running away from the future. He said, give me this mountain. It was a spirit. That's why David didn't see Goliath. Just seen a small carcass dropped. When the Spirit of the Lord possesses you, big things become small. Things that look so big, they become small. And you know how there's a calling the names of nations I've never heard before, and you are saying you are entering there. How? So that some of the things you never knew, the Spirit will go, it will just bring the script of your future before you, and you'll be reading it. That's what happened to Jesus. He entered into the temple. Look at, and they gave him a scroll. As soon as they gave him the scroll, the man giving him the scroll gave a prophecy that is about him. And you are the one that will read your prophecy yourself. Better get ready. Nobody will read for you. They gave the scroll to Jesus Christ. And while he was holding it, it was a scroll, prophecy about him, exactly him. And he started reading. He said, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to heal the sick, to set at liberty the guy. And they were watching the guy as he was reading it. When he was done reading it, he closed the scroll and he said, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. And he started moving about, touching the sick, healing the oppressed, delivering the devils. God came to announce to somebody, anyone under the sound of my voice, by the Spirit of God, things you were destined to do, things you were born to do, things you were ordained for, grace is coming upon you right now. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you right now. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you right now. In the name of Jesus. This Spirit of the Lord is different from the indwelling. It's the uponness. Is the one that you stay in the house at night, and while you are sleeping there, you feel like waking up your prayer time, but you are tired. And that time where you are tired, that's when some demonic and satanic forces are waging war in the realm of the spirit, and God knows that you are his partner to win the war, and you don't know what's happening to you while you are sleeping. You try to sleep, you cannot sleep. You put on this side your pillow, no way. You turn, no way. Then you feel pressed, and as you enter the toilet, when you are coming out, you say, kapa, yaka, baka, 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 baka. The same you that was lazy, in that power you run the first hour, you run the second hour, and you are not yet tired. For when the hand of the Lord comes upon you, he makes it easy. I came to announce to somebody under the sound of my voice, the areas of your weakness, the areas of your inability, for the sake of the destinies that are tied to you, for the sake of the destinies, the businesses, the careers, the mountain of influence that will not go down, I prophesy the Spirit of the Lord come upon you in the name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit, moving now. We make my heart whole again. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, move it now, move it now. When the Spirit of God is at work, he does not know gender. That was what happened to Deborah. He doesn't know gender. When he starts working, a female will be acting like a male. You'll be wondering, why is she acting like that? The Bible says the Spirit came upon Deborah. Deborah was operating two major spirits. She was three: the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of the Lord. And Deborah will come out in the face of battle that men will be running away from. And Deborah will say, let us go. After she had finished fighting, she will put off her armor and sit under the tree of Deborah and still judge the whole of Israel. And somebody's sitting down and he's saying, I don't think I can do it. Who told you that? It is not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. He doesn't know gender. He doesn't know gender. He doesn't know gender. He doesn't know gender. And that's why sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord is working actively, you'll be amazed. When you do something, you now be afraid of yourself. And I say, how? What happened? It's not you. It's not you. It's not by power. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by my Spirit saves the Lord. It's not by power. It's not by might. By my Spirit saves the Lord. This mountain. Whatever opposition, whatever thing that you are seeing right now, it will go down. It will go down. It will go down. In Acts chapter 18 from verse 9 to 10, the Bible says, then he said, Paul speaking, I said, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't quit, for I am with you and no one can harm you. Many people here in this city belong to me. God speaking. Paul was afraid. And look at what he says. He says, and the Lord spoke to Paul in a night vision. Don't be afraid, but speak and don't keep silent. He said, for I am with you and no one will attack you to hurt you. Why? He said, for I have many people in this city. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you to operate the counsel of God that nobody can stop. So even when you are not able, he says, I don't need your power. I don't need your might. I'm walking. I just open up yourself. When I enter, I will take over. And the same Paul that was scared, boldness came upon him and he started speaking. The Spirit of the Lord. There's a dimension of God that many of the people in church are not aware of. People come to church, but they do things, but they don't know what's happening. They don't understand it. It is the Spirit that gives boldness. It gives audacity. And that's why sometimes when we're ministering under the influence of the Spirit, when I say I'm ministering under the unction of the Spirit, it is the Spirit of the Lord. And if you judge me based on my personality on the pulpit, you might not be able to come between me when I am down. You might feel like, this person is... But by the time you come close down, the same lion can become a lamb. And when it's time to function as a lion, you function. And when it's time to stay as the gentility of a lamb, you stay there. The Spirit of the Lord, when it comes upon you, he activates you. Hidden potentials will be activated. Things that were inactive inside of you will start functioning. And you'll be wondering by yourself, what's happening to me? You have mouth, but you have not said anything. Then he will start speaking. You don't know what happened to the people that wrote the scriptures. It was an inspiration. It came upon them and they started writing things. Look at all these guys now. Can you see all these people? Different people wrote. All of them, they were the one in Revelation, the one in Zechariah, the one in Isaiah. We put all of them together and we still see all of them saying, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord. Were they in the same place? No. How did they come about that thing? It came upon them. When it comes upon a person, you will fulfill the counsel of God. Don't allow anything. We have all we need in our armory. All that we need to function, everything is with us. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 8 verse 39. Look at it. Philip was preaching in a particular place, and after he was done preaching in that place, while he was done, and now when he came up out of the water after baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch, he thought he was going to walk. Guy, you can't walk. Where are you walking to? The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. He is not cooperating with Philip. Philip was still there trying to say, where will I pass? After this baptism, where do I go? And the Spirit just came and said, I have a counsel. There's still another city you must enter now. And the Bible says he caught him away. And when the Spirit caught him away, all of a sudden, they did not see Philip there again. They saw him in Azotus and they said, this is a journey that's supposed to be a whole day journey. How did you get here in less than 5 seconds? The Spirit of the Lord can compress time. Look at it. And he said, and now, when he had come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the Enoch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. The Enoch went on his way. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. How can somebody preach in all the cities by his own power? He would die. But when he does the crusade here, after he's done, pam, the Spirit will catch him up, fill him with energy. Enter again, pam, catch him up, fill him with energy. There will be supernatural energy coming upon some people in this dispensation. If some people are not ready and churches have to be filled and there will be 10 services in a day, we will still run it. Because by the power of God, things will begin to happen. I came to announce to somebody the unusual power of God, extraordinary grace of God. Lift up your voice wherever you are and say, dear Holy Spirit, come upon me, come upon me. Come upon me, Spirit of the Lord. 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 Come upon me for service, for exploit, for impact, for function. Are you praying? 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 Ragagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagagag
He's all over me. He's moving me around. He's moving me around. He's moving me around. He's all over me. He's moving me around. The Holy Ghost power is moving me around. He's all over me. He's all over me. Moving me around. He's moving. He's all over me. All over me. He's moving me around. The Holy Ghost is moving me around. He's all over me. All over me. Can you pray, Holy Ghost, in this season of my life, come upon me for great exploits. Come upon me for great exploits. Come upon me afresh. I cannot remain the same. This cannot be my best. There's so much that I must do. There's so much time. So much limited time. So much for limited time. Come upon my life. In 3.5 years, Jesus conquered the whole city. The power of God was upon him. He's all over me.
He's moving in my life. The Holy Ghost power.
There are times where the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and one of the things he will do is say, preach to that woman now. That's the prompting. That's how it works. You, those times where you see yourself, you do like this, you draw back. You do like this, you draw back. There's a prompting. And if he continues to push and you continue to resist, you are quenching the Spirit. And if you consistently quench the Spirit, you can miss the defining moments of your life. Sometimes he says, lay your hand on her now. Now, and I will take that sickness away. And you say, ah, no, 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 no. Nobody's praying now. The atmosphere is not stead. The Spirit does not need a stead atmosphere. He is the one by himself. And he's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. And he is the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King of Kings. And he is the Holy Ghost, the seal of the age to come. He's bringing everything in obedience to Christ. He's bringing everything in obedience to Christ. Organizing everything in obedience to Christ. Swallow your pride. Tonight, come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know these hands, keys of eternal life? A little here, a little there, till the day is done. He's at work in you. He's bringing everything. Organizing everything.
Organizing everything. In obedience to Christ.
Yeah, he's changing everything.
Changing everything. In obedience to Christ.
He's aligning everything.
Aligning.
The hand is coming upon somebody. The hand is coming upon you. After tonight, you'll be another person. After tonight, your dreams will change. The way you see will change. Remember, he makes you see. You start seeing differently. You see a mountain as small. You see an obstacle as nothing. You will see well. Supernai Gebarosha. Shabababababa. What you see as an obstacle before, it will now be your advantage. What you saw before as a hindrance, it will be your stepping stone. Shabanegedelebosuai. Hey, it's the Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost, the seal of the earth to come.
He's bringing everything.
He's bringing everything. You know, be dancing with pride.
Organizing everything.
Organizing everything. You know, be dancing with pride.
He's changing everything. Listen, when he is engaged in a negotiation, this is how you know. You are having a bargain, and he puts a figure in your head that you know that ordinarily nobody will agree. Then he will create in you the boldness to declare it. And you will stand and say, this is the price I'll pay now. Initially, you are afraid that if you say it, they will cancel the deal. But it will come upon you. Then you will mention it. And the next thing you hear is the person will say, ah. All the people that I ever mentioned it, we didn't listen to them. But I don't know what happened. As soon as you said it, something in me told me to do it. All of a sudden, results are gotten. It's the Spirit that makes you enter a place where they have been pending your case, your issues, and you tell them, I want this thing to be settled in the next 1 month. And they say, ordinarily, they would have told you, who are you to give us time? Then the next thing you hear, we are sorry, don't worry, you will get your answer. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of leadership, he compels men to function. He compels men to act. He's an authoritative spirit. That's the spirit that gets demons out. Every devil that is hearing my voice, every demon of fear, depression, every demon, whichever way you enter, you devilish spirits, I command you right now, hear my voice, get out now in the name of Jesus. Out now. Out now, out now, out now, out now.
come upon you one day, and you will lay your hands where that lump is, and you will tell the lump, try now, try now, try now. The Spirit of the Lord, when it comes upon you, you will do it by yourself. He says, set yourself free, you beautiful daughter of Zion. Shake yourself. You can't shake until he enters. When he enters, he will raise you. You will shake yourself. The spirit that rested upon the prophets, he rested upon Jesus. Even Jesus could not function without him. Hey, Jesus needed him. You will need him. Jesus needed him. You need him. Jesus needed him. You need him. How far can you go without him? He entered Ezekiel. He entered Jeremiah. He touched the tongues of Jeremiah. And he said, today, my iniquity is taken away. When he takes over your tongue. Hey, when he takes over your hands. When he takes over your mind. Everything will change. The spirit of the just man made perfect. Psychotanaike Embraniako Sute Ranakos Kapaida. You know yourself now. Hear my voice. By the count of three and the name of Jesus, your torment is over. I compel you by the Spirit of God. One, two, three. Get out now, 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 now. Out. Strange voice speaking every time. Speaking. Causing fear. Fear of the future. Fear of advancing in the fulfillment of your prophetic destiny. That voice, I silence you by the Spirit of the Lord. I rebuke you now. Be silenced and join the company of deaf and dumb spirits. You can't speak again now. In the name of Jesus. Whatever form you have stayed in that body, whether in form of sickness, growth, pain, excruciating pain, whatever it is, whatever form you have taken there, by the sound of my voice, you are out now and never return. Never return. Never return. Never return. Whatever form you have taken, never return. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Precious Holy Spirit. Spirit of the Lord, we honor you. The eyes that make small mountains. The eyes that make small obstacles. The eyes that magnifies God and causes sickness, his fears, diseases to diminish. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name of prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let that boldness, courage, let it remain. When they enter their offices, when they get to their business place, when they enter the place for the negotiations and discussions about that result, that project, that career, Lord, as you came upon Peter and he looked at Elymas and he said, thy money perish with you, let that spirit come upon them and give them utterances that will cause men that when they hear it, they cannot say no. Stephen spoke, and the Bible says they could not withstand his wisdom. Lord, let your spirit be so mighty that the results that we thought would take 5-10 years, they will come in the shortest while. And I pray for everyone that the devil has intimidated that they cannot serve God. Let that spirit of boldness come upon them. Let them talk back to that devil and put him where he belongs. And arise into the journey of a lifelong destiny of commitment and fulfillment and devotion to the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. If you are here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus, I wouldn't want to end this service without giving you an opportunity. Probably a friend invited you, somebody told you about a service, or you've been coming to church where you need to make contact with Jesus. I want you to quietly raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you wherever you are. Do you want to make a commitment to Jesus? Quietly raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. As your hands are raised, wherever you are, if you're online, do the same thing. Just indicate online. You just indicate online that you're raising your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Can you say it after me? Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you, giving you boldness. Don't be afraid. For the first time, act based on his leading. Yes. Can you say it now? Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive forgiveness of sin, made available by your blood, and eternal life into my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Have you been blessed tonight? It's going to be a massive time next week, Tuesday again. And the upper Tuesday, we're going to be dissecting the spirit of wisdom, spirit of counsel, and the spirit of understanding. Then we'll do the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of what? There's the last one. Yeah, 7 of them. So we'll touch 3. We've taken 1. And don't forget that the Spirit of the Lord is the one at the middle. That's the candle at the middle. Then the other 3 on this side, the other 3 on this side. And the Bible says that the candle has lights, but it's also representing eyes. In other words, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, it becomes an eye with which you see difficult things as small.
you begin to see things that are impossible as possible. The Spirit of the Lord comes. Then you begin to see yourself that you thought you could not do some things. You see yourself as doing. It's an eye. In you, it manifests as is a dimension of a sense. It takes over your natural self so that all the fear, intimidation, and everything is vanished. Then you act on something. You come back and you realize that, what did I just do? He has done whatever he wants to do. All glory goes to him. The good thing for the believer, different from the Old Testament people, is that for the Old Testament people, he doesn't indwell them. So when he comes upon them like that and leaves, they are totally ordinary. But for us, he indwells us also. So that when he comes upon you and he does the function for which he wants to act that moment and is lifted, you are not empty. You are still having him inside. That's a powerful dimension God has invested in us.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.